Well, good evening, everyone. God bless you. If you have your Bibles handy, please turn to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 23. I titled this chapter, Last Words. These are the last words, or you could say the final speech of Joshua. Now, I think this is extremely important because Joshua was a man who experienced a lot of supernatural things as he was a man that followed after the Lord. We don't know when he made a commitment to Christ. I'm guessing that he was pretty young when he made a commitment to God. And you see throughout his life how he submitted himself to the plan that God had for him. And a part of that plan was to put himself under the leadership of Moses. And under the leadership of Moses, Joshua indirectly at the time was being groomed. He was being prepared to be the next leader. And I'm sure at the time when he first started out, he had no idea what God had for him. And that might be true of some of you. Some of you, God has you in a very specific place right now, and you don't realize that the place that you're in right now is the training ground. God is developing you and shaping your character and putting you in certain circumstances that really cause you to question your motives and question the Lord and God, maybe why do you have me in this situation, or question different things. And through that process, you're growing and developing. I'm sure Joshua went through things like that when he was under leadership. And then Joshua, he becomes the leader of the nation of Israel. And he's not like Moses, who Moses was a very diplomatic leader. Joshua was more of a military leader. He was a kind of individual that can go in to foreign land and fight foreign people. And I remind you that God was using the nation of Israel to bring judgment on the Canaanites that were living in the land, because they were an extremely wicked, wicked people. And we've been journeying through Joshua, that is, through the book of Joshua, and we've been seeing how God grants victory to those who walk by faith, those who just simply trust him. And God continued to give Joshua victories. They were against all odds, and that's how God works. So often, there are some huge obstacles that we face, and yet God calls us to himself, and because we belong to the Lord and we're stepping out in faith, even though our faith might be small, and we might feel there's another word that's similar to inappropriate. It'll come to me. Inadequate. Thank you. Inadequate. I'm glad that I cleared that up. But sometimes we might feel inadequate or just feel insecure about the direction that God is leading us or calling us to, but yet he gives us victory. He enables us to go above and beyond what we're capable of. And we've come to learn that God's commandments are his enablements. What God says, when we couple it with faith, it enables us to do what we can't do in and of ourselves. And so we learn from Joshua the way of victory really is to trust God against all odds, regardless of what life may throw, regardless of whatever obstacles or upsets or failures, even failures. We get back up, we brush the dust off our bodies, and we say, God, you're the only way, and we move forward. We see that, we learn that from Joshua's life and from the children of Israel as they continue to follow God by faith. And Now Joshua is an old man. And he's come to the end of his life. And here's his final speech. His last words to people that he loves. He loves very, very much. And this is part one. This chapter, he's talking primarily to the leaders. And then chapter 24, which is the last chapter, he talks to the people. So we're going to be looking at chapter 23, and we'll be covering all 16 verses this evening. Now, it's so important because we don't get the opportunity to be around very successful godly men like this. You know, he was leading a multitude of people, probably about 2 million or so people. And that's huge. You know, that's huge. It's like the President of the United States. You know, very few people get to spend a lot of time with them. And some people perhaps wouldn't want to. I don't feel that way. I am so thankful for the President that we have. He's not a perfect man, but nevertheless, he's the man that God has in office. And so we pray as Christians. We pray for our President. But there's a lot of famous people that we would never be in their company to hear last words, to hear something like this. But being Christians, I'm so blessed being God followers and people that just love the Lord. We get to listen to a godly man's final speech and really know what's on his heart, what's on his mind. And what has the Lord spoken to him? And what has the Lord impressed upon his heart for the congregation? And so we get so blessed to hear this speech. And so we begin in verse 1 with Joshua's final speech, part 1. Now it came to pass, a long time after the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua was old, advanced in age. Let's just take a minute and let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love for us, and thank you for providing for us these wonderful instructions. Lord, we know that all of your word, from the first letter to the last letter of your word, is given to encourage us, to admonish us, to comfort us, to direct us, to teach us about you and about your will for our lives. And so we value your word, and we're just so grateful that we can come and take this time. We can dedicate this time to the reading and to the studying of your word. Lord, we take every other thought, everything that we've experienced today, all of the struggles, the trials of the week. And God, we cast all our cares at your feet, and we just give you our full attention. We pray, God, that you would minister to our hearts as we study your word together. In Jesus' name, amen. Here, the scripture tells us that it was a long time after the Lord had given rest to the children of Israel. And before we go any further, I just wanted to take a little bit of time to think about the history of the children of Israel up until this point. And they started out being a called people. And really, it goes all the way back to Abraham, or God called Abraham out of the country that he was in, and he called him to himself, and he called him to a journey of faith. And even before the nation was even in existence, God already had a plan for the nation of Israel. God had spoken to Abraham, who's the father of the nation and the father of faith, and told him that, you know, he was going to be the father of many nations, and that he had a plan for his children, and they were called even before they were in existence. And that's something about God. God, even before things manifest, God already has a plan. You know, God's called us, and each one of you, there's things that God still, it's a part of his plan, but it hasn't manifested yet. Maybe for some of you, God's spoken to you and has given you a very specific word about something that's yet to come. And maybe it's been years and you're doubting, you're wondering, now, Lord, I know you spoke to me, but it just doesn't seem like it's going to happen. Let me tell you something. If God told you, if it's the Lord, it's going to happen. Because God, he is so faithful to his promises, just like he was faithful to Abraham. Now, Abraham didn't quite see the nation develop, but he did see a son, Isaac. And then Isaac had a son. He had a couple sons, but one that God recognized was Jacob. And then from Jacob came the 12 sons, and a little family developed, about 70 people, and they went from a called people to a nomadic people. And they were a nomadic people, even from Abraham. I mean, they were just traveling and traveling. And Abraham spent time in the land, but they were in and out, and you know, they were not settled. They were a nomadic people. But then from a nomadic people, they became slave people. And it was extremely difficult for them. For those 400 years, you know, that small group of 70, when you guys know the history, so I don't get into all the detail, but when Joseph was in Egypt and he was very well known and respected, but then years after his time, a new pharaoh came along and didn't have any real, Joseph by that time wasn't an influential figure or anything, but the nation of Israel had grown just like God had promised. And they had grown so big as a population that the Pharaoh was scared, and out of fear, he says, well, you know what, we better make these people slaves before they take us over. And so they became a slave people. And yet it was during that time where they really started to grow and populate. You know, a lot of times it's during hardships. Actually, I would say most of, probably 99.999% of our growth comes from hardships, not from the silver spoon. You know, it comes from difficult times. That's why it's good to get into the habit of embracing the difficult times. It's very easy to say, huh? Not always easy to do. But nevertheless, we learn. We learn to try to embrace the challenges because those are the things that really make us godly if we respond to them correctly. And then from a slave people, they became a wilderness people. And then they became a fighting people. And as I said earlier, they were fighting, but it was really God was using them to bring discipline to the Canaanites and all the wicked people that were living there. And it was more than discipline. It was actually, by this time, it was just judgment. It was just straight-out judgment. And so they fought, but they were gaining a possession, a land. They were fighting and dealing with the enemy. And as a result of extinguishing and driving out the enemy, driving out all the different larger groups, because we're going to see that there was still some little strands of resistance throughout the land that they still needed to go forth and deal with, which they never really did, sadly. But nevertheless, as they dealt with majority of those adversaries, they just kept growing themselves and getting more and more settled. And so they went from a fighting people to a repose people. That's what the first verse tells us. You know, they had rest, as It tells us in the verse here, a long time after the Lord had given them rest. So they had been experiencing rest for quite some time. They went through a lot of different stages of development, and now they came to a place where they were pretty much settled, and they were experiencing consistent rest, consistent peace from all their enemies. Good place to be. A real good place to be. But also a very dangerous place to be. A very, very dangerous place to be. You know, when things are going well, when people get settled, when people get very established and been walking with the Lord for many years, have experienced some great victories, have seen God do some great things, and then start to really get settled and experience rest, you know, it's a blessing. It's a blessing, but biblical rest comes with responsibility. And I say it's dangerous because when they get comfortable or they get where they feel very, at ease, maybe a little too comfortable, then things could start getting taken for granted and taking advantage. It seems like they were starting to take advantage in some subtle ways and taking things easy. And during these times when, you know, we feel comfortable in our walk and settled, we could even start to neglect. And here, Joshua starts to address these things as his final words. He starts to talk about this issue of, hey, there's still some work that needs to be done. We've been settled for a while, and yet you haven't moved forward in regards to getting rid of these little resistance groups of enemies that don't want to leave. They don't want to leave. And you know, it seems like there were some enemies that were harder to get rid of than others. And so he addresses these things. Now, just practically speaking, when God does bring rest, he brings a time of just peace in our lives and maturity and establishment. You know, as I said, God's people must rest responsibly. Because if we don't, we can start getting ourselves too comfortable and taking things for granted and even neglecting our own spiritual walk and neglecting our relationship with the Lord. You remember when one of the servants, Jesus said that one of the servants said, my master delays his coming. And so he started to take advantage of the people and neglecting his responsibilities because his heart, something happened in his heart, and then it just started to manifest itself. And so there must be that sense of responsibility. And he talks about how to be responsible during the times of rest, during the times of everything's going good and there's prosperity and there's advancement and God's blessing. This is how to handle it. So Joshua, in his old age, and he says in verse 1, tells us that he was advanced in years. And he agrees with what's said here because, you know, he tells us himself, it's quoted rather in verse 2. But before we get to verse 2, you know, I just wanted to say that Joshua in his old age, you know, with being a man of experience, knew that it was a possibility to you know, veer off, being in a very good place and then veering off. And possibly he was watching this trend take place already, seeing a trend of complacency and seeing, you know, it just the root kind of getting in, so to speak. And so, you know, he was concerned. He was concerned for his brethren, and he was concerned for their future. Because we've often heard that it's important to start well, but it's even more important to finish well. And so in verse 2, it tells us that Joshua called for all Israel. And this was something that was extremely important for him to address all of them one last time before, or at least one or two last times before he dies. So he calls for all of Israel, for their elders, for their heads, for their judges, and for their officers, and said to them, "I am old, advanced in age." And so he recognized that he was pretty much, you know, I'm sure it wasn't his spirit. Obviously, his spirit was not old. I mean, how many of you can say you put age on your spirit? Do you ever feel old? No matter how old you are, your spirit doesn't feel like it has an age, huh? It's your body that reminds you of how old you are. Your spirit wants to run and soar, and then your body tells you you can't do that no more. You know, but your spirit, you don't feel any different than you did 20 years ago. In your spirit, maybe you're a little bit more mature, but. So it was his body. He was getting to a point where he knew it was coming. The next chapter, we find out he died at 110. So he was at this time at that age or very close to it. And so he says, "You have seen." He reminds them how they were personal witnesses of all that God had done. And he tells them, "You know, you have seen all that the Lord your God," because that's God is very personal. "All that the Lord your God has done to all these nations." And Joshua, being a godly man, and even at his old age, you know, he was already done with all of the ego and all that stuff of thinking he was somebody, and all that was all out of him. You know, there's some people that they just kind of never grow out of that. They always like want some kind of attention, or they want to some kind of recognition. But Joshua was way past that. And godly men, good godly men, you have to deal with that of wanting to be recognized and wanting to be somebody. Because really, there's only one person that can take the credit for anything. Anything that of good that comes out of us, any spiritual good, anything. Even a calling, a ministry, a service, anything. It's the good work that God has done. It's not men. And God will use men, no doubt, but really God's the one. On the surface, all these folks, they were all fighting, and not all the times, because one of their fights was just walking around a city one time every day and blowing trumpets, which makes no sense whatsoever. And we understand sometimes God asks us to do things that don't make sense to us, but totally makes sense to him, and it really causes us to trust. But then on the seventh day, they go around the building seven times, you know, and blow their trumpets, and then the walls all came tumbling down. I mean, that makes no sense whatsoever. And yet, God led his people in a way that they didn't even have to fight. They didn't have to pick up a sword. All they did was just throw the worship leaders out there. throw the singers out there. What? And God is awesome like that. You know, he can do the incredible with, you know, the weakest people, the worship leaders. We're all up here nervous. You think we know what we're doing. We're just, "God help, God, if I butcher that note, oh, I butchered it. Lord, forgive me." But, you know, God will take the weakest people and do great things. And so, you know, on the surface, it looks like the people are doing this awesome thing, but really it was God. God was doing the work. And Joshua, he had no problem giving the Lord the credit. That's what godly people do. And so he says, you know, everything that God has done, he's done it because of you. All the good things that God has done for you, he's done it because of you, because he loves you. That's basically what he's telling him. He cares about you. That's why God did all that he did for the children of Israel. I mean, he made promises to his forefather or to their forefathers, but here Joshua says, you know, God favors his people. God favors you. And this is so true. I mean, we find the commentary on this verse, if you would, over in Psalm 44, verse 3. You could turn there. It's wonderful what the psalmist says. And it's a truth. It's something so beautiful how God favors his people. And if you are a child of God, you can say, God favors me. There's nothing wrong with that. God favors me. God favors you, child of God. And here the psalmist in Psalm 44, verse 3 says, for they did not gain possession of the land by their own sword, nor did their own arm save them, but it was your right hand. And so beautiful. The psalmist is just talking right to the Lord. It was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your countenance, because you were smiling down on your people. And I believe that's how God is. God, when it comes to his people, God's smiling down on his people. When God sees you, he's got joy in his heart. When he sees you and he smiles down on you, he makes his, you know, makes his face to shine upon you. He smiles down. You ever see somebody that's got a beautiful smile and it's like their eyes sparkle and their teeth sparkle and you say, man, I'm so jealous. Why can't I look like you? You don't think that, of course. But when you see somebody have that sparkle, you know, and that countenance, it's lit up. It's just a beautiful smile. And that's what the psalmist says. It was because you favored them. Bottom line. And so back in Joshua, you know, Joshua, he tells him, hey, you're a personal witness of everything that God has done for you, because of you, because he favors you. For the Lord your God is he who has fought for you. It was he who fought. And you know, in reality, you have cooperated with the Lord, but it's been the Lord that's been working on your behalf to bring you to where you are. Now, Paul, he tells us the good work he's begun in you, he's faithful to complete it. Think of how many times, I don't want to bum you out, but think of how many times you've been faithless. And even in spite of yourself, look where you are. Here you are in the presence of God, walking with the Lord, and he's helped you. Even when you were faithless, even when you blew it, he picked you back up and he encouraged you, and he says, hey, I love you. I favor you. You can trust me. And sometimes it takes us failing and falling flat to learn about the mercy of God and the grace of God and the love of God. And then our hearts, we trust him. We learn to really, you know what, I can trust him. And I don't want to fail you, Lord. That's not my desire. But when I do, I know that you will never leave me and that you're with me and you're for me and you favor me. And it's such a beautiful thing to know that it's God who's brought us to where we are. He's the one who's fighting for us. And maybe you're going through something right now, and I want to remind you that behind the scenes, God is fighting for you. God is working on your behalf to bless you and to bring a good outcome. It might have been a struggle, or maybe you're in the struggle, but you're not alone. God is fighting for you, and he's with you. Now, Joshua's concern, now here we get to his concern. He says in verse 4, see, I have divided to you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from the Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off as far as the great sea westward, talking about the Mediterranean Sea. And the Lord your God will expel them from before you and drive them out of your sight, so you shall possess their land as the Lord your God promised you. And so he says, you know, look, I've divided the land, these nations. There's still little pockets of resistance that you need to drive them out. You know, you've been settled for quite some time, and these people, they have to go. You haven't been dealing with these little pockets of resistance. And yeah, the bigger area is covered, but there's still these little adversaries that you haven't dealt with, and you got to deal with them. You might think it's small. You might think, it's no big deal. They're a little group of people. They're not going to hurt us. I mean, we've come this far. We've grown this much. We've conquered this much. But they can become extremely dangerous. You know, it doesn't take much to influence people for evil. You get one, what do they call it? One bad what? One bad apple what? It doesn't take much, just one bad apple. And Joshua, he knew. And so this was his concern. You know, he's like, hey, be faithful to drive out these pockets of resistance that don't want to leave. You know, it almost kind of reminds me of the Christian life and how, you know, we can grow so much, and yet there's still those little things, right? Maybe a couple little things that we kind of let linger. Instead of putting them to death like we know we should, we kind of let them linger. It's not that bad. Compared to what I was doing, it's not that bad. But it's like those, you know, those little things sometimes, if left undealt with, can turn into a big thing down the road. That's why it's so important to hear these admonitions, you know, and to make some practical application. But Joshua, he now moves to the how-to. You know, he says, listen, this is what you need to do. This is my concern. And so this is what's on his heart and his mind. It's like, hey, you know, I'm ready to leave. And yet there's still some work that you guys need to do. And you know everything that God has done. I mean, the Lord is on his mind, and the welfare of the people are on his mind. It's like Joshua, even though he's a military leader, he's a godly man, and like a great pastor, a great shepherd. And he really cared about this flock. He says, you know, so this is what you need to do. This is the how-to. And he says, therefore. Now, it's interesting. He doesn't say, this is what you need to do. Start counting your military strength. You know, let's see how many horses we have that can fight, or can horses that are trained for battle, how many, you know, swordsmen we have. Let's start getting our military. He doesn't mention anything, yet there's fighting to be done, and he doesn't mention anything at all about practical things. Because you can have all the practical things in order. You can have all this lined up, but if this is not lined up, or if this is off, you just, you know, you're setting yourself up for a fall. And so he says, look, be very courageous. And the word therefore is before be very courageous. Therefore, as a result of this, because of this, because there's still resistance, there are pockets of resistance, little things you need to deal with, this is how to deal with them. Be very courageous. And the word courageous here is fearless. And now listen to what he says. He doesn't say fearless to go to war. He says, be fearless to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. Isn't that interesting? I mean, there could be, as a military man, there could be so many things he tells him, but he says, this is what you need to do. Be fearless when it comes to obeying the word of God. Isn't that interesting? Because the Word of God is the true source of direction and wisdom and strength and comfort. You know, as an exercise, read Psalm 119. As an exercise, read Psalm 119. Make that your devotion for the next couple days. It's a long psalm, so break it up in segments. And you see how the psalmist, no matter what was the circumstance, and he doesn't get into specifics, but he does give you enough information to know that the psalmist was dealing with so many different things at different times. And yet there was one singular answer for every single thing he dealt with, and it was the Word of God. Now, he says, be fearless, be very courageous to keep. The word keep is to guard. You know, I'm not much of a football person. Right now, it's the football season, but I'm not much of a football person. But I do like the Super Bowl. And I think the only real reason why I like the Super Bowl is because usually there's a gathering somewhere and some great food, and the halftime commercials are hilarious. And so if you remember some years ago, there was a commercial that came out, and remember, I'm talking about guarding. And the commercial starts with the guy knocking on a door, and then woman opens the door, and the guy comes into the house. I think he's got some flowers. And he comes in, and, you know, he's checking out the girl, and it's a single mom with a little kid. And the little kid, you know, he's looking at that guy as he checks out his mama. And, you know, those commercials are a little funny. They sometimes, you know, cross lines a little bit. And little boy's looking at that guy, and then that guy sits down and he takes a Dorito. You remember? And before that guy gets it in his mouth, that boy slaps that man in the face. And he gets real close to him and he says, don't touch my mama and don't touch my Doritos. Put it back. He was guarding his mom. He was guarding his mom. He was guarding those Doritos. You know, and I know that's a little on the silly side, but it's if you could see the kid's face, well, he was really guarding, if you can remember. And that's the idea of guarding the Word of God, guarding, you know, making sure that we are very desiring to, you know, make the Word of God a priority. And not let anything get in the way. And then not only making the Word of God a priority to, you know, be in it, also to do. And he says, to do not some, but to do all. All that is written in the book. And what a blessing, you know, we got a one-stop Savior, you know. You know, I love one-stop stores. You know, Amazon is awesome. I mean, before it was like Wegmans and Sears and bigger places. You just go and you can pretty much get anything. Walmart, you get food, you get almost everything. Walmart's like a one-stop shop, you know. But now Amazon's even better because you don't have to leave the house. You don't got to deal with the Walmart crazy. And I know it's crazy because when I walk in, that's when the crazy begins. But, you know, the thing is that you can get everything you need. Amazon.com. It's like, you know, practically speaking. And the Bible is the one-stop Savior. You know, it's not the one-stop shop, but it's the one-stop source of everything we need. And I love the Word of God. And here, this godly man, he's saying, this is so important. You got work to do. And because you got work to do, you need to be in the book. You need to guard your time in the book. You need to do the book. You need to put it into practice. And not just some of it, but all of it. And I love what he says. I don't know if you picked up on it, but he says, all that is written. You know, in this day and age, there's so many people that almost everything is about feeling. This is what I feel God told me. This is what I feel God showed me. This is what I feel that the Holy Spirit put on my heart. This is what I feel. Yeah, but is it written? And if it is written, then great. But Joshua, nowhere in the Bible do you ever find anyone saying, I feel that the Lord is showing me, or I feel this, or I feel that, or I feel this. You know, generally the exhortation is, you know, look to the book. Do what's written. Forget about how you feel. Do what's written and the right feelings will come. You know, so many people have come up with things that they feel and it's not the Lord, because you look at the effects and you look at the outcome of the things that they've done based on how they felt. It's like, well, that definitely wasn't the Lord. I've seen good people feel that God was calling them to leave here and to do something. It's been few, but unfortunately it's so sad. Some of them have like made a shipwreck of their faith and they've gone a whole nother way. They're not walking with the Lord. They were all led by their feelings, not what was written. And it's sad. You see their families get all destroyed, and it's just a real sad thing. So it's got to be what's written, not what we feel. Anyway, so he says, do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside. In other words, don't turn aside. Whatever you do, don't turn aside from it to the right or to the left. Don't vary at all. Now, this admonition was extremely personal to Joshua, because this is what the Lord spoke to Joshua at the beginning of his ministry post Moses' death. This is what God spoke to Joshua, so this was very personal. You know, and we know it's inspired because it's in the book. And you know, those things that God spoke to you, and it's real personal, and it's in the book. It's like you're studying the scriptures, and God takes a verse and just speaks that verse right to your heart, and you know that the Lord spoke that to you, and it has profound impact. Well, that's very personal. When you share that with other people, you share that as life. And you could show people the scriptures. You say, look at what God said. Look what the Word of God says. And so Joshua, this was extremely personal. And he shares with them this because the Lord spoke to him in Joshua chapter 1. You don't have to turn there, but in verse 7 he says, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. What is Joshua doing? He's just quoting to them the Word of God. That's basically what he's doing. Joshua's not taking credit for himself, and he's not coming up with his own material. As a good leader, he's just sharing what God spoke to him. And so he tells them, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. I mean, God told this to Joshua, but Joshua's relating it in his own words. But you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And that's exactly what Joshua experienced. Exactly what God told him. He did it, no matter what the hardships were. And the outcome was exactly what God told him. You make your way prosperous, and they did. They had rest. Rest is something that is phenomenal. So many people don't have rest, they have stress. And it's easy to get stressed. But rest comes from God. And God gives rest to his people. And so God blessed them with rest and prosperity. And so in verse 7 of chapter 23, it tells, he continues and he says, unless you go among these nations, these who remain among you, you shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them, nor bow down to them. In other words, avoid all contact with the adversaries of God. But you shall hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. And that word hold fast, or that phrase, is to cleave. Again, it's the same, it's a very similar word to when in the book of Genesis it said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and should cleave, or you know, shall cleave to his wife, shall be glued. You're stuck to me, baby. Where are you? You're stuck to me, baby. Yeah, you girl. Yeah. And there's no getting unstuck, you know, and that's how it should be with the Lord. You're stuck to me. I'm stuck to you. I cleave to you, God. And so he says, you shall hold fast. And then here's the benefits of cleaving to the Lord. In verse 9 it says, for the Lord has driven out from before you great and strong nations, but as for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day. Here's one of the benefits. You've had nothing but past victories. Walking with the Lord brings you victories. And all of us can look back and say, wow, I've had past victories. I used to smoke pot. God delivered me from smoking pot, from drinking, from inappropriate behaviors with the opposite sex. I mean, the list goes on, a foul mouth, rebellious spirit, a non-value-added citizen. Used to get in trouble with the law. Yes, your pastor. But that was like 2 weeks ago. I'm past that. I'm past all that. No, that was like from... You know, it started when I was 12, but really about 15 and 19. I don't know what happened. I went crazy for about 3 years. And some of you have been crazy for way longer. But my point is that I look back and see all the victories that God has brought. And as a result of it, how he's protected me from so many things. Who knows what I would have gotten myself involved with. And that's what any of us can look back and say, God, you've brought me through a lot. You've brought me to a wealthy place, and you've given me victories. But then here's another benefit. He says in verse 10, one man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you as he promised you. So following the Lord, you have past victories, and following the Lord, looking forward, you can just assure future victories. So in whatever obstacle you have, you can look back and say, well, I've been, because of God, God's been fighting for me. Look what he's done. So this is nothing for him. This is nothing for him. Right now, it doesn't look good, but I'm going to look back and say, another victory. Another victory God has done. Thank you, Lord. And then, here he tells us, as he promised you. You have his word. These are benefits of cleaving to the Lord. Therefore, here's some more how-to. Take careful heed to yourself that you love the Lord your God. Look at the emphasis of a man who knows he's not going to be around much longer, cares for the people he's ministering to, is encouraging them to continue to fight. The emphasis is on the Word of God and loving the Lord. Because he knows that out of knowing him and loving him, everything else will just work out. God will do the rest. You just get to know him more and love him more, and God will do the rest. How can you lose? You can't. God is so good. I think of this, take careful heed to yourself. It reminds me of Proverbs chapter 4, where in the Proverbs, you don't have to turn there, but verse 23, it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. In other words, it's like him saying, or understand it this way, above all else, guard your affections, for they influence everything else in your life. And that's so true. You got to guard what you're affectionate towards. You got to protect that your desires aren't for the wrong things. You got to guard yourself and control yourself and make sure that your affections are towards God. Because if if your affections are towards God, then God will influence every aspect and every area of your life. And that's why he says, guard your heart. Guard your heart, because if your affections are towards God, then he will inspire you and influence you. But if you don't guard your heart, then your desires are going to outstrong man you, and they're going to have an influence on you and bring you down some dark places. Now, there's so much more I wanted to share with you, but I'm going to reduce it to, let's look at verse 12, and now he gives the or else. You know, and I love this, that Joshua is not looking for the praises of men. He's looking to encourage them and help them, and he encourages them in the Lord, but he also warns them. He's not looking for people to say, oh, Joshua, you're so wonderful, because if he was looking for that, he wouldn't tell them these things. He was looking to make sure that they were faithful to God, because that was so important to him. And so he says, or else if you do go back, and that's what happens whenever a person apostatizes, and this is what he's talking about. In a sense, he's talking about apostasy. Tell you what, it's 8:31. Let's pray, because we can go on for hours. And I'm not sure if all of you are still with me, so I want to make sure that I have you as long as I can. And I know that there comes a point where it's 8:31, we've got things to do tomorrow. Some of you want to go home. I know you love God's word, and on the outside you might say, well, Pastor, never stop early. Well, we're not stopping early. You can go all night next time, and then you don't come next time. I know how that is. But all kidding aside, I do just want to share in closing, remember that God, the rest that God gives comes with responsibilities. We'll talk more about the or else, but we can't allow ourselves to get too comfortable spiritually. We have to always make sure that God is the main affection, the greatest desire of our lives. And each one of you are so special and precious to God. And I know you love him. That's why you're here. And, you know, it's godly people who love to listen to the word of God. And you're godly and you're desiring to do God's will. And so God, he looks down at us with favor. God's smiling down on us, and at least I like to see him that way. I mean, he's seated on his throne, and I know the Lord is praying for us, but I also believe that the Lord our God is in the midst of us, and he sings over us. And I can't explain all the wonderful things that God can do. I just love to benefit from his goodness, and I know you do too. And so may God bless you and continue to fill you with his peace. We're going to pray and then worship, and then you guys are dismissed. Lord, we thank you for your love and mercy and grace, and we thank you for the study of your word. I pray, God, that you continue to pour out your blessings over us as we worship you and as we fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.